So let's move into lesson 21, releasing your true identity. So you can't please God. We've already established this. You cannot please God in the flesh. There's no way around it, right? The word says in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. So all our good works, everything we do in the flesh, is like filthy rags. Someone said, if I'm getting this right, those filthy rags can be likened to menstrual clots. So think how gross that is. And that's how all our works in the flesh equate to what's equated to, right? So all our righteousness is like filthy rags. So in the flesh, we can't please God. And we see that in Romans 8:8. It says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul is talking to the Galatians and he said, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? And going on to verse 3, he said, are you so foolish having begun in the spirit? Are you now being made perfect in the flesh? And how many times that can be true of us, right? We come to Jesus. We just place faith in him. We say, yes, Jesus, right? And the rest of our Christian walk, we think we have to do some sort of antics, right? In order to blessings to flow in our lives or victory or something to happen. I remember we had this student in one of our Bible schools. And she came to me and she said, Lisa, tell me what is wrong with this picture, okay? She had a bad case of varicose veins. You know, she said, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm doing all these things. And how come I'm not healed? Right? Well, we know what was the deal, right? She thought by doing all these things, then she would be healed. But how do you know that's not how it operates? So we just have to believe in the finished work that by his stripes we are healed. Right? It's not anything that we have to do. Otherwise, we could pat ourselves on the back and say, wow, I really fasted good this time. Right? Nothing's wrong with fasting. Nothing's wrong with praying. Right? Because all those things helps us to get our eyes on the Lord, right? But God, Jesus had already done the work. He paid the price, and all we have to do is simply believe, right? We don't give so God could bless us. We give because he has already blessed us, and we love him. Amen. He's a good God, right? So in the flesh, we cannot please God. That's why Philippians 3:3, Paul said, I place no confidence in the flesh. Paul said that. Philippians 3:3. Let me go there real quick. Philippians 3:3 says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. And he goes on to talk, right? About how, hey, if he wanted to, he could place some confidence in his flesh, right? And he talked about all his qualifications, right? He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, right? But what is his conclusion, right? He said, yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Right? And verse 9 says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Right? And that's how Paul lived. He placed no confidence in the flesh. He's telling us, place no confidence in your flesh. Right now, some people, they think, oh, I'm brilliant. In the natural, you may be brilliant. You may be have different letters behind your name or whatever, right? But the word says, place no confidence in your flesh. Don't place no confidence in your own wisdom, in your own talents. We have to place all confidence in Jesus. Amen. Romans 7 again, describes living by our own natural carnal ability. That's why the results are always defeat, failure, inability to do desired good, right? Like it says in Romans 7:19, if you want to walk in victory, it has to be in Christ. It can never be out of your own resources. It says in Romans 7:19, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. And that happens when you're in the flesh. So in the flesh, you can't overcome. You can't turn the other cheek. You can't forgive, right? An unlimited number of times. But in Christ, we can, right? Jesus said in John 16:33, it says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. How many of you know that overcomer lives on the inside of us? Therefore, we can walk as overcomers. So every time we say things like, I'll never get over this, right? I'll always be overcome. I'm a failure. What are we saying? He's lying. We're saying God is lying. But what does the word say in Romans chapter 3, verse 3? God is not a man that he should lie. God does not lie. And every time we say things like that out of our mouth, we're not in agreement with him. We're not being humble. We're being prideful, self-centered. Our eyes are not on him. It's on our flesh. Right? And when we are prideful, what happens? Grace does not flow. That power does not flow in our lives because we're not in agreement with his word. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? If we want that power to flow in our life, we have to come into agreement with who we are in the spirit. And who we are in the spirit is we're overcomers. That's why Jesus said, get happy. Get happy. I have overcome. The war has been won. Amen. You don't have to fight any war. He is victorious. The victorious one lives on the inside of us. Amen. Another analogy we can use, you know, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. This is talking about building on the rock. So what are we building on? Right? In Luke 6:46 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against all that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Right? That's talking about us building on him, living our lives after the Spirit. Because how many know he's our rock? He's our rock. Right? He's our refuge. And we're supposed to build our lives on him, live in him, be hid in Christ. Live out of our spirit man. And he says that if you're living on that rock, the storms of life may come, right? But you will not be shaken. You'll always be an overcomer. Go on to the verse 49. He says, but he who heard and did nothing. Doesn't that sound like people who are only hearers only? Heard and did nothing, okay? It's like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation against which a stream beat vehemently and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great, right? In other words, still building a house on the sand. It's not like walking after the flesh, isn't it? Doing things your way. Directing your own path. That's why the word says, trust in the Lord with your whole heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Amen. So we need to build on the rock, right? The flesh profits nothing. You will not be in victory if you're in the flesh. It'll always be overcome. So that's why Paul said in Romans 7:24, he said, who will deliver me from this flesh? And in the next verse in Romans 7:25, he says, reading verse 24 again, he says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And in verse 25, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Right? So deliverance from the flesh comes through living by who you are in the spirit. Right? That's what he's saying here. And from there, he launches on into Romans chapter 8. Right? Chapter of victory. Right? Chapter 7 is just showing you what life is living in the flesh. Trying to live this Christian life according to the flesh. But chapter 8 is a chapter of victory, living by the Spirit. Right? And Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen? Now some people see this verse, well, praise the Lord. No condemnation to me, so therefore I can live how I want to. Well, you know what? God loves you. Unconditional, no matter what, you know, we mess up, we may do things. He loves you unconditionally, right? His word says he will never leave you or forsake you. But here's the kicker, right? If you live according to the flesh, there's going to be consequences. Yes, right? if you live according to the flesh and you do something wrong, there's going to be condemnation coming to you from other people. Right? From yourself. Right? That's why he said walk in the Spirit. Walk according to who you are in Christ. Amen. So in the Spirit, there is no condemnation whatsoever. So Romans chapter 8 is one of the most victorious chapters in the whole Bible because it's written from the perspective of a born-again spirit. Amen. Right? So let me give you some quick highlights of Romans chapter 8. It's not in your outline. So this is a little something I'm just pointing out to you through the whole chapter of Romans chapter 8. Bear with me, right? If you want to walk in victory, this is a good chapter to really get into and meditate on, you know? You know, in Romans 8, 2, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, we see in Romans 6, 18, it says, we have been set free from sin and you became slaves of righteousness, right? That's our identity. We are slaves of righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of what Christ has done. Amen. Not our own righteousness, but his righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of what he has done, right? And we see that in verse 3 also. It says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. As a result, like I said before, right, we are the righteousness of God in him because of what he did on the cross. Man, that is victory. That's something to praise God for because of what he did. Romans 8:4. It says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, right? That's because of what Christ did. That's why we can walk by faith, not by sight, right? Because of what he has done. When we're walking by sight, what does it mean? We have our eyes on the natural. We have our eyes on everything, the storm that's brewing all around us. We have our eyes on ourselves, right? We're walking by sight, but we're supposed to walk by faith because of what he has done, right? And then verses 5 through 13, we know all these verses. We said them over and over in the course, you know. It says those who live according to the flesh and set their minds on the things of the flesh, right? That's something you can see there, right? If you're fleshly, your mind is on the things of the flesh. There's no other way around it. If you're carnal, right? Your mind are on carnal things. That's where your focus has been. That's what you've been considering. That's what you're feeding on. Carnal things, right? And then we go on to 6. It says the carnal mind leads to death. Always leads to death. Being fleshly always leads to death. But to be spiritually minded always leads to life and peace, right? And it goes to talk about the carnal mind is enmity against God. The fleshly mind is against God. Right, so we can read all those verses to verse 13. That's what keys to walking in victory. And then in Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, but the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Wow, isn't that awesome? Remember when we spoke on praying in tongues? Right, and remember one of the keys I gave you? That, you know, when you're feeling weak, right, just go pray in tongues. He's our helper. It's a refreshing. It builds you up. Right? That's what it's talking about. It helps us in our weaknesses. He's our helper. He's our comforter. That's the Holy Spirit in us. Right? And in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. If you're feeling overcome, Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's something to shout about. He's the greater one. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the great I am. Right? So if God is for us, we have nothing to be worried about. Romans 8:35-39 says, nothing will separate you from his love. So guess what? Praise the Lord. No matter what it is you have done. He said, nothing will separate you from his love. I think that's good news. There's something to rejoice about. That's how much he loves you. That's how he thinks about you. Right? That's why the enemy wants to keep us bound. He wants to keep us all wrapped up in ourselves and pitying ourselves and, oh, poor me, and, you know, just wallowing in ourselves for the rest of our life and having a wrong view of how God sees us. But his word said nothing will separate us from his love. Nothing. That needs to be a revelation in our heart. You know, that's a key. Love. Having a revelation of God's love for you. You know that? Because out of that revelation of knowing how much God loves you, right? The word said faith works by love. Right? Because when you know that you know God loves you, man, you know God's going to come true for you. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Right? When you know how much God loves you, you know that he's true to his word. And if he says, by his stripes you were healed, then you are healed. Because you have a revelation. He is love. That's who he is. God is love. Right? When you have a revelation of God's love in you and how he feels about you, you can walk in love towards other people. That's why I'm saying the key is love. That's why Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to 21 talks about be rooted and grounded in love. So you can walk in the fullness, right? That's my little paraphrase right there. It's a whole bunch of verses right there. But if you want to walk in that fullness, right? Be rooted and grounded in his love. Be established in his love. If all you do is start meditating on how much God loves you, you wouldn't walk in fear, right? The word says perfect love casts out fear, right? When we're fearful about life, when we're fearful about anything, we don't have a revelation of love on the inside of us. His word said he has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That's what he said he gave to us. But you know what? He can say that all day long, but we have to believe it. We have to come into agreement with it. And then you're going to see it flow in our lives. So nothing will separate us from his love. Romans 8:37 says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. More than conquerors. So Romans 7 is talking about the frustration of living life in the flesh. And Romans 8 is just describing the typical Christian life, what it should be. That's how the Christian life should be. Romans chapter 8. Right? That's why this revelation of spirit, soul, and body unlocks so much in the Christian life. No, I'm telling you the truth. I never knew any of this stuff growing up. I was clueless, you know? All I know, I was saved. Amen. But I didn't know anything. I didn't know who I was in Christ. I identified more with what other people said about me. I identified more with what that guy said about me walking down the street than what Christ said about me, because I didn't know. I was ignorant. Right? That's why we have to know what our identity is. We have to know who we are in Christ. We have to understand it was our spirit that was changed. And that old man was crucified with him. Right? And when you begin to understand, man, the old man's been crucified, I'm a new creation. You need to get that revelation of who you are in Christ and who Jesus is on the inside of you. Amen? And you have to know that in him, his love for you doesn't fluctuate based on your performance. His love for you doesn't fluctuate based on your performance. Right? So everything is based on what he did. Romans 5:9 says you are justified by his blood. All we did, we had to believe. Right? Romans 5:1 says we're justified by faith. When we place faith in what he did on Calvary. All we did was simply believe. He did it. Hebrews 10 talk about he was the once and for all. He did it. He was a sacrifice once and for all. Right? The blood of bulls and goats was a constant reminder that they couldn't do it every year. But Jesus came. And because of his shed blood, we are redeemed. We're justified. Amen? And all we had to do was believe. And it's the same thing with the Christian life. That's what Jesus says over and over in his word. Believe. Only believe. All things are possible to those who believe. Believe and not doubt. over and over. That's a Christian that is simply believing what Christ has done. So once you believe, you must reject the flesh and walk by who you are in the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Hebrews 12, let's read from verse 1. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, this lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How many of you know we're running in a race? I don't know about you, but I want to win. Right? We want to. The only way to win is by enduring, okay? But here's the key. How do we win? Looking unto Jesus. That's the only way. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, and it says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. How many times can we get discouraged, right? He said, consider him. We just consider him. Look unto him. Right? Looking unto Jesus. That's the only way we can win this race. Right? 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen? Just believing on him, putting our eyes on him. We're overcomers. Right? No, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, and lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. No, to me, that I believe that sin that so easily ensnares us is unbelief. A lot of times we're unbelief, right? And that causes us to be double-minded, right? And we know what double-minded leads to, right? I don't have to preach that whole thing on double-mindedness, right? You're not going to walk in what God has for you, right? You're unstable in all your ways, right? So as you cultivate a good image of who you are in Christ and it becomes a reality, you release and experience your true identity, right? That you are joined to the Lord. It says that in 1 Corinthians 6:17. You're joined to the Lord. That you are accepted in the beloved. You're favored by him. You're favored. His favor surrounds you like a shield. That's what his word says. Amen. That you are the head and not the tail. That's your identity. Amen. That's what God is saying over you. Right? That everything you put your hands to will prosper. That's what God is saying about you. Right? That you are not a failure. That you're blessed. That you will never be put to shame. That's what his word says. I didn't say that, made that up. But it says in Romans 10, and verse 11, it says, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. That's a good verse. I love that verse. Amen. When the enemy comes and tries to whisper and say things, oh, you're not going to make it. You're going to look stupid. You're going to, and all those things. This is a good verse. It says, but this is not what my God says. I believe in his word. He says, I will not be put to shame if I believe on him. Amen. So we have to identify what God says about us. Amen. So the Christian life is growing stronger in the spirit and weaker in the flesh. You know, the flesh dominance steadily diminishes as you consistently depend on who you are in the spirit. Amen. You know, if you have an issue, you're shy. Oh, I can't do that. I'm shy. I remember, oh my gosh, growing up, I was scared to do everything. It's okay. Not me, you know. I was always, you know, shy, you know, I can't do it, you know. But that's not what the word says about you. No, the word says in Proverbs 28:1, the righteous as bold as the lion. Right? You don't have to live in fear. Proverbs 28, verse 1. Righteous is as bold as a lion. We don't have to be timid. I remember in Bible school, you know, used to make us come up and do these timid preachings, you know, and I was terrified, okay? Because, you know, when you're terrified, you're thinking about yourself, okay? You're thinking about what other people think about me, you know, would I say the right words? Would I phrase it the right way? And all those things are going through in your mind, you know? I remember giving my 10-minute sermon, and I'm behind one of the podium, and my knees are just shaking crazy. I was terrified. But I said, you know what? I said to myself, I need to go up there and do what God's called me to do, right? I need to be bold because Christ is on the inside of me. Amen. I can trust his word when he says he has put his words in my mouth. Right? So we need to walk according to who we are, according to the word of God. We need to focus on who you are in the spirit by meditating on God's word. Right? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, the second half of the verse says, I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one, right? If you want to be an overcomer, the word of God needs to abide in you. If you want to walk in the power of his might and strength, you need to have the word abiding in you, right? Joshua 1:8 says, if you want to make your way prosperous, you need to meditate in the word day and night. Not literally just day and night, but all the time. It needs to be your focus, right? It needs to be what we're feeding on. You know, in Psalm 37, it says, feed on his faithfulness. That's feeding on who Christ is and who he is on the inside of us. So we need to focus who we are in spirit. Abide in his word. Amen. Feed on his faithfulness. How many times that word, feed on his faithfulness, that's just setting your mind on things above. You know, many times as missionaries, it becomes difficult where finances can seem low. Right? And what we do? We sit down, we start talking. And we start remembering and feeding. My God, remember when God did this? And that's the same God we serve. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you know that's setting your mind on things above? Amen? That's setting your mind on who Christ is on the inside of you. That's how we're supposed to live as Christians. Right? It takes getting our focus on Christ to live the Christian life. Right? We can only live the Christian life by getting our focus on Christ. Right? That's why Philippians 4:8 says, set your mind on things above, things that are lovely, good report. Right? It says that in his word. Right? So we need to get our mind on him. You know, in Colossians 3, verse 10, it says, put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Put it on. Right? That's how, as we set our mind on things above, how do we walk in victory? Put on a new man. That's who we are in Christ. That's our identity. Put it on. But a lot of times we have it in the closet with the door locked. And we're walking according to the old man. But that's not who we are. Right? So we need to put on the new man. Feed on his faithfulness. Be renewed in the knowledge of him. Right? No, remember that the old man was crucified with Christ, that we are a new creation. No, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How are we strong? In the Lord. And I believe as he goes on to describe the armor, that's just us remembering who we are in Christ. Right? Gird your loins with the belt of truth, the truth of God's word. Right? Look into the mirror of God's word. That's who you are. Right? Put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right? We have to constantly remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. Right? That's why Paul told the Galatians in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, stand fast in the liberty. Right? Let me read that for you. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made you free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Don't get back into doing things according to the flesh, according to your own strength, but stand fast in that liberty. How do we stand fast in that liberty? Right? By continuing to keep our eyes on him and who we are in Christ, in our true identity. Amen. That's the only way we can walk in victory. And when we keep our minds, our eyes on Christ and who we are in Christ, we're able to stand against the trickeries and the schemes of the enemy. The enemy doesn't want us to walk according to who we are in Christ. He wants us to believe his lie. Right? We've already established that. He wants us to believe that we're defeated, we're failures, we're nobody, okay? We're underdogs. But that's not who we are in Christ. Right? We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. That's our true identity. And when we've come to a revelation, the enemy has to run. He has to flee. Right? That's why the word says submit to God. Right? What's submitting to God? Come into agreement with what God says about you. And then you're able to resist the devil. Right? Submit to him. Get your mind on him. Start renewing your mind to who you are in Christ. Amen? And instead of being controlled by your own old carnal self, your spirit man will begin to dominate you as you begin to renew your mind. Say, no way, devil, you're a liar. That's not who I am. I am not unworthy. God has made me worthy. He's accepted me. I am loved. He has not forgotten me. Amen? His word says... I'm in the palm of his hands, his word says. He loves me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. And we have to remind ourselves, renew our mind. If we've been struggles in these areas, okay, we need to get into God's word. There's no press button automatic thing about it. You need to get into God's word. I don't know about you, but I don't know why you would want to live life apart from God's word. We need to be in God's word. Renew our minds. You're not seeing victory in your life because your mind has not been renewed. You're living according to the flesh. Simple as it could, that's a simple answer. Get into God's word. Get a revelation of what Christ says about you. Start identifying with that more than what you see out here. And I guarantee you, you're going to see victory. You're going to walk that overcoming life because that's who Christ says you are. You're going to be more than a conqueror. Amen. You're going to walk in divine health. Amen. You're going to walk in abundance because Christ has already done it. Amen. But that comes into our life when we come into agreement with it and we only believe it. Amen. Not by anything we can do, right? But just simply believing it. Say, Christ, if you say so, then it is so. Amen. And one last scripture is in Isaiah 11:2. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And this is where it's talking about the Spirit of God. It's all the qualities of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom, all those things. And how many of you know the word says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what's on the inside of us. Amen. That's good news. So we have no excuse. Now, I'm not saying here we need to go home and beat ourselves up and say, oh my gosh. No. We need to say, praise God. That's what's inside of me. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to live another moment being overcome and feeling sorry for myself. Amen. I have the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Because it's not by my strength, but it's by his grace. And I have that grace available to me right now. And it's on the inside of me. Amen. All I need to do is simply believe it. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you were blessed tonight. I bless myself. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I have his grace, his ability, his power on the inside of me. Amen. Amen. And we can walk in that abundant life. We can reign in life. We don't have to be depressed. We don't have to be frustrated. Amen. We don't have to even wonder, what is wrong with me? Nothing is wrong with us. We're victorious. We're blessed. We're the head and not the tail. I love that scripture. Amen.